This is Daniel Libby reporting here for the Toronto Media Co-op. We're at the big rally right here. We got George Bush and Bill Clinton in town, and we got a guest here. Do you mind introducing yourself?
I'm Anthony J. Hall. I'm professor of globalization studies at the University of Lethbridge.
And I noticed that you just showed me a document that you'd been working on. What's that all about?
I wrote a paper. I called it George Bush and Bill Clinton Do Toronto. It's on several internet sites. You can easily Google it. It's a follow-up to the piece I wrote leading up to the event in Calgary about a month and a half ago when George Bush spoke there, splitting the sky, was arrested. I called that article Bush League Justice. Should George W. Bush be arrested in Calgary, Alberta, and tried for international crimes? Certainly George Bush and, as a matter of fact, Bill Clinton, who are speaking across the way right now, are credibly accused. Our law enforcement officials in Canada, from the Prime Minister to the Minister of Justice to the Public Safety Minister to the Immigration Minister to the head of the RCMP, I mean, they have a duty to uphold the rule of law. We have, for instance, the Canadian War Crimes and Crimes Against Humanity Act, with statements that Canada is not to be a war haven for war criminals. So Lawyers Against War have given the relevant criminal justice officials in our country all the information they need to arrest George Bush. You know, it's as if the rule of law doesn't apply to the most powerful. I mean, the era we're living in makes Al Capone's Chicago look like a kindergarten of lawlessness, and it's got to stop.
Occupation is a crime. George Bush should be doing time.
George Bush is the most notorious, credibly accused war criminal on the planet. I mean, he should not be presenting his positions on the lecture circuit. He should be giving his self-justifications in a war crimes tribunal. So the fact that these very laws were enforced against or used to keep George Galloway out of the country, George Galloway, a parliamentarian in Great Britain, the mother of all parliaments, for 24 years, an outspoken peace advocate, one of the most eloquent advocates in the world of Palestinian rights, to keep this man out of the country and welcome George Bush into the country speaks to a contempt for the rule of law. And the media cartels, which are at the core of the military-industrial complex, are largely responsible. You know, on the alternative media, on the internet, you can do research and find that many thoughtful, well-informed people are producing the documentary record that shows just how far into an era of unprecedented criminality at the top we are into.
George Bush!
Yeah, my name is Splitting the Sky.
I have heard a bit about your story here, about what happened in Calgary, I guess, on March 17th. But in case people haven't heard about it, though, do you mind mentioning what happened?
Yeah, what happened basically was is that I went to Calgary on the 17th. We organized a major demonstration because Bush was going to be giving a speech at the TELUS Convention Center. And it was going to be $400 a plate, 1,500 Alberta oil executives, people in the oil industry, the Alberta tar sands, they were there to hear him speak. And he was given a $200,000 honorarium. The same people that organized that benefit, Bennett Jones and a couple of entrepreneurs, Ernst & Young, and unfortunately for this one here, the Global News Network, sponsors, but the same ones that sponsored them in Calgary sponsoring them here. We organized roughly 500 to 700 people. It was a large turnout. It was very spirited. And now we requested that he be arrested under the Immigration and Refugees Act of Canada, which basically doesn't allow war criminals into the country. There was a massive police buildup over there, just like there is here today. And I said that if George Bush comes into this country, if you don't arrest him for war crimes according to this law, the Canadian Criminal Code, then I will effect the citizen's arrest according to the legal clause known as civil resistance. And so they basically did not arrest him. And I decided at that moment to break the line. I broke the line and I went through and I was grabbed, apprehended, knocked to the ground, beaten severely with a slight head concussion. My glasses were broken. I was handcuffed and hauled off to jail. All the time, I was still yelling, arrest Bush. When I got to jail, I was booked and I was beaten inside the penitentiary, kneed in the groin, and I'm still suffering as a result of that at the moment. So on March the 8th through the 12th, we got a trial date. I pled not guilty, and I said the real guilty criminal is still to be apprehended, a war criminal named George Bush and all of his neoconservative cabal. I intend to introduce a body of information relative to the fact of the tortures and the murders that were committed by the Bush administration. 96 known murders, right, as a result of torture. So that's what I intend to put on trial, and I intend to reverse the charges onto the Bush regime.
Arrest George Bush!
Now today, I'm down here in support of the resistance here, calling that Bush and Clinton be charged with war crimes here today. Now, no sooner than I got here, I had two RCMP agents come up on me and try to talk to me quietly, and they tried to intimidate me with a lie that was told by a provocateur, one of the many provocateurs milling around the people as we speak here today. So there's an agent provocateur that tells the police that I had told them that I intended to break the line and go in there, grab George Bush and kill him. So I said, well, you tell your provocateur and the rest of your crew that if you try to arrest me for that, the whole world will hear about it. All you're doing is shooting yourself in the foot. Now get out of my face and get lost. So that's where I'm at right now. Just get out of my face. They try to create a little kerfuffle, but then they seen all the people starting to come and they heard it. So there was witnesses, so they couldn't get away with it. There was witnesses they couldn't get away with. So they backed off and they left. We still got one objective in mind, indict the war criminals, arrest them and indict them.
Have you heard this, that the country, Spain, was working on something about prosecuting George Bush? Did you hear that at all?
Oh, absolutely. Baltazar Cardon, a Spanish judge, is demanding the prosecutorial staff to indict six of Bush administrators from the Office of Legal Counsel during the Bush regime for ordering the torture and the murders of the many innocent victims that died while inside of Bagram and Abu Ghraib in Guantanamo Bay. They basically will arrest Antonio Gonzalez, Alberto Gonzalez, William Haynes, who now is a lawyer for Chevron, David Addison, John Yoo, along with Bybee, I forget his first name, Bybee, who is a judge, is the federal judge, to indict them for pushing the envelope on the question of torture in violation of Article 3 of the Geneva Conventions.
One last question I just wanted to ask you about is your t-shirt. I noticed you have the Free Leonard Peltier t-shirt. Do you have any comments on that case?
Oh, absolutely. I carry Leonard Peltier with me all over the world because he is the longest held political prisoner in North America, along with Mumia Abu-Jamal. We're saying that this man has been falsely accused of killing two federal agents and should be released immediately. And that when we release the real, the political prisoners in the United States and worldwide, and then we filled up those vacant cells with George Bush and the rest of his cabal.
So we got some objectives, and I'd just like to thank Splitting the Sky for your words today.
Thank you. And www.splittingthesky.net and www.warcriminalsout.com. You might want to talk to her too. This is Annie Marchand.
Yeah, I'm Annie Marchand. I'm a former British spy who ended up leaving MI5 in the 1990s to blow the whistle on their crimes. And I'm also very active in the 9/11 truth movement. I've been helping to build the European movement over the last few years. And I've been invited over by the Canadian groups to do a national tour of 7 events.
And you mentioned that you used to work for MI5, did you say? But I've also heard of MI6. What's the difference between them?
Yeah, MI5 is the domestic security service. So it's counter-terrorism, counter-proliferation, counter-espionage. MI6 is the foreign wing, so it gathers intelligence abroad. They're more the James Bond side of things.
If you're willing to say, what were the circumstances of leaving?
Because I joined to try and make a difference and try and protect my country. And in fact, I saw so many things going wrong, from incompetence to crime, up to and including murder, that I didn't want to be involved in an organization like that any longer. So I left with my ex-partner, David Shaler, and we went public in 1997. The main case that made us quit and go public was a case of false flag terrorism, where MI6 had funded Al-Qaeda in Libya to try and assassinate Colonel Gaddafi. And it went wrong and innocent people died, and it was illegal under UK law. So you can't get a much more heinous crime than that. We went public, and because of that, instead of the murderers in MI6 being investigated, we had to go on the run. We had to live in exile for 3 years in France, and David went to prison twice, and many of us were arrested. And it was at a time when MI5 was beginning to investigate Al-Qaeda as a threat, but MI6 was funding it.
Wow. That's
a huge scandal. And I guess you're here in Canada now, so I guess you are able to travel now.
Yes, I am. I mean, the case is over. David's been, you know, convicted and done his time in prison. Now I travel around doing a lot of speaking for the 9/11 Truth Movement, talking about false flag terrorism, and also helping to organise other speakers. I've just, over the last few months, organised 2 European-wide speaking tours for the architect Richard Gage, and also for David Ray Griffin, the professor who's written a number of very key 9/11 books questioning the official account. It doesn't matter who you vote for, it's the same lot get in, isn't it? I mean, they pretend to come from 2 parties, but they're representing the same interests. The international laws of war are clear-cut, it's there in black and white. It starts in 1928 with the Treaty for the Renunciation of War, which is nicknamed the Kellogg-Briand Pact. This was the law that outlawed wars. And it says clearly that any act of war that is not in immediate self-defense of an invasion is de facto aggressive and de facto illegal. So we have that, Kellogg-Briand Pact 1928. Then we have the Nuremberg Principles, the Nuremberg Charter, the Geneva Conventions, and the Rome Treaty from 2000. So there are all these laws, and they should be on trial in The Hague at the International Criminal Court. Website, which is www.anniemachon.com. So that's AnnieMachon.
We know you. We will throw our shoes at you.
We're in front of the Metro Convention Center, and we got a special guest here. Do you mind introducing yourself?
Absolutely. This is BK, aka Black Krishna, former CKLN radio programmer, artist, and philosopher, etc. We're here at this event protesting Bush and Clinton, who are speaking here on a speaking tour and reinforcing the false left-right paradigm, like they're actually against each other, but they're coming together on certain issues, which is also dangerous. The Bush and Clinton crime families are in the service of the New World Order banking families that run the world and that created the false left-right paradigm, the false left-right dialectic. In a true democracy, a third party could emerge. When the two have failed decade after decade, a true third party option would emerge. But they train us to think in terms of choosing left or right, Republican or Democrat, liberal or conservative, and this perpetuates that myth that there are actually two presidents who were working against each other with truly opposing views instead of just working different sides of the same agenda.
Would you say you're seeing this red-blue paradigm in Canada as well?
Absolutely. For instance, I was at the Tamil protest recently, and I talked to a couple of Tamil guys about this. A couple of them blamed it on Harper and the conservatives, knowing that they're more militaristic and fascistic and less compassionate than the left, supposedly. And they were counting on Michael Ignatieff and Jack Layton to save them. You can talk to the many other groups that have approached the NDP and the Liberals. They won't get true action or change or parliamentary investigations. So definitely the left and right in Canada are controlled as well.
It was you, nigga. Tell the truth, nigga. Bush knocked down the tower.
I'm against the International Criminal Court. I'm more for local trials and local jurisdiction. The problem with the International Criminal Court is who runs it and who do they prosecute? And do they go after, say, Bosnian war criminals but not American ones? You see what I'm saying? So I do believe he should be prosecuted, but it should be by perhaps Iraq or perhaps by the U.S. government for violating the Constitution. There are many ways to prosecute him as a war criminal, and the evidence is clear. TorontoChange.com, PressForTruth.ca, Infowars.com. That should get you started. A great movie to understand the entire big picture is Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement.
So do you believe Bush is a war criminal?
Yes, I do, wholeheartedly.
I'm going to try it again. Bill Clinton!
I think Bill Clinton should be in the same place that Bush should be in, and that is behind bars. In Guantanamo Bay!
What do you say, Guantanamo Bay? What do you say, Guantanamo Bay? My name is Joshua Boyle.
Nice. And I just noticed you're handing out a pamphlet that says Omar Khadr, How Canadian? With a question mark.
It's just dealing with a lot of the myths around Omar Khadr when people talk about if he's a true Canadian or a citizen of convenience. Not only was he born here, he went to school in Toronto. His mother went to school in Toronto. His grandparents owned a bakery on Eglinton Avenue. His grandfather ran a shawarma shop on Yonge Street. They're as embedded in Toronto culture and as Canadian a family as you can really have at the end of the day. So we're just trying to open people's eyes to the fact that when politicians say we don't need to intervene because he's not a Canadian, that's bullshit. And although Obama is now in office and Bush's era of irresponsible government is over, it's actually a Bush-appointed judge and a Bush-appointed prosecutor who will be trying Omar and are almost certain to find a guilty conviction against him and sentence him to an unjust sentence. So we're just looking to have him brought to a Canadian court and have a Canadian judge issue Canadian justice and give him a fair sentence. Unfortunately, I think the government of Canada has gotten progressively less responsible towards their own citizens over the past 7 years, and we're actually further from bringing him back now than we ever have been, even though popular support has gone from 20% to 30%. It's now hovering between 60 and 70% of Canadians say they want him back, and if we live in a democracy and democracy rules, then he should be back.
And I guess with Guantanamo Bay closing,
Obama announced he was closing Guantanamo Bay. He said it was going to be the first issue of his administration. We've seen since then that's not entirely true. He's sort of giving back a lot of Bush's promises that he'll still run through with tribunals, but they'll be closer to the Geneva Conventions and closer to human rights, which really is a lot of bullshit that we already heard from George Bush. And he promised to close it, not to open it under different circumstances. So we'll believe it when we see it. Many people like to judge the Khadr family based on what they see in the media. And I think if you're going to judge somebody, you should judge them based on getting to know them yourself. So if you don't have an opportunity to actually get to know the Khadr family, they actually run their own website, thekhadrlegacy.com, where they tell their side of the story. And while I'm not saying that either side is true, you need to see both sides of the story to understand that the truth lies somewhere in the middle. So I would recommend that people who are interested in reading both sides of the story visit thekhadrlegacy.com.
The Federal Reserve Bank is a real phony thing, you know. And they talk about, oh, we got to save the system, and you know the banks were the ones that fiddled all the money, you know, and all these toxic bonds or something. What a racket! Canada, Bank of Canada is an actual bank, and we could borrow money at a very low interest. Instead, they passed laws years ago that the government will no longer borrow from their Bank of Canada. But in order to stimulate the economy, I guess, and help our friends, they said, well, we're going to borrow money now from the private banks. Yeah.
We could pay ourselves the interest.
Yeah.
Income tax was created. They used war so they could bring in the income tax, right?
And the income tax was associated a temporary thing, like most temporary things,
and it's
permanent. It's permanent now.
Permanent slavery.
And even this thing now, the GST tax. I know when Peter Kent was running for the Conservatives, I guess in my writing, and he said, you know, well, we're doing a good thing, we're reducing the GST tax. I said, well, you know, the money I'll save on the GST, the average person won't benefit much. But the guys that spend $100,000, you know. But anyway, this is a good demo.
9/11 was an inside job.
Whenever it hit the Pentagon, they had all sorts of video cameras all around the Pentagon, at the hotels, at the gas stations. And the FBI immediately went and took all these cameras. What Obama could do, he wanted to do, would be to just release one of those cameras and see what really hit the Pentagon. Because it's suspicious that it was a huge aircraft.
Conspiracy! Illuminati! Information!
Yeah. Well, more and more Obama is. I got buddies that think he really was chosen by the Hispanics. He's part of the establishment. I think that he eventually maybe he'll have to come out and reveal some things.
What do you think about this whole program?
FCC! I think it should have been a day off for everybody today. It should have been a national holiday. Burn Bush Day!
Hell with the new world order!
I'm with a media co-op right now. It's a cooperative media organization in Toronto. Mediacoop.ca.
Four resistors, welcome here!